outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun, our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Inside Outdoors here on WFHB this morning, and I'm Don Jordan, one of your long-lost hosts, and I'm here with two of my sidekicks. That'd be Rich Reardon. Say hi, Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
Say hi, Alan.
Hey, guys.
That's Alan Bronnenberg, for those of you who don't know, famous Alan.
Thanks, Don, for getting that right. I appreciate that.
We know that. And our buddy Bill is absent without leave today, but we're hoping he's okay. He's probably out taking care of the chicken.
Yep.
And here we are in this beautiful spring day. Is another one. I mean, gee whiz. You working in your gardens yet?
Sure are.
Yep. Mrs. B has started the onions and a couple of other things. But there's a lot of things growing in the living room here on plates. So
same here.
I assume that transfer is about ready to be made soon. Although she was talking about bringing in the things in pots tonight and tomorrow, there's an outside chance of a freeze. So entire process of offloading everything indoors is about to be reversed here in a few hours, and I'm sure I'll take place in that.
Can't you just cover the stuff?
Yeah, you know, she's done that before, and I think it's just easier just to bring them in and take them out. So like 20 pots.
You guys are still young, you know. You got good back.
Yeah. Well, she is. I'm not.
Okay, boys.
I got Buddy Bill some seeds that he wanted. Not beefsteak. What the heck was it? Those called. He couldn't find the seeds anywhere.
Wonderful.
The
one wasn't it called a wonderful tomato?
Beef heart,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that, or ox heart.
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, I found some for him, and he said he was going to get them started. That was about a week ago.
But I looked that up. Those things are giant.
Yeah, they're. He had some that he got in Smithville or somewhere last year, and he really liked them. So hopefully we'll see.
Yeah,
we got a few that are planted too soon. They're still inside, but. Yeah. And we're planning on planting some asparagus.
So, oh, well, that's next year. That's for next year.
It is, yeah. But we're still going to plant it soon. So,
you got to if you want to have it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got a few things on, all ready to go.
Well, since we've been in Texas, I haven't done jack diddly down there in my garden, but I did pull out the tomato roots and all that stuff last this winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna burn all that stuff on one of those beds and get it ready for radishes.
Yeah.
There you go.
I really like radishes, and the ones you grow in your garden are, of course, better than the ones you can buy at the store.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
they have some taste, and some of them have a little heat, you know. And
do.
You don't get that from the store-bought radishes anymore.
No, they're pretty bland anymore. I've noticed that. It's not sure why. Probably they're hydroponically grown or something that doesn't have any flavor to them, but they don't taste like anything.
They've hybridized them so much to get big.
Yeah.
For red radishes, they've hybridized them so much that they don't really taste like radishes anymore.
No, they don't.
The same as with strawberries. I'm sure you've noticed
that.
Those big strawberries, well, they taste like nothing, really.
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, seedy water.
They're just not the same. So here's a plug for U-Picks out there. If you're a U-Pick store, you got to get in contact with us, because we'd like to talk to you here on the show sometime and see if we can drum up some U-Pick knowledge around here.
Yeah.
You go to U-Pick? You guys go to U-Picks?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
What is U-Picks?
Oh, U-Pick. They grow the berries or whatever you're after in the field, and then you go and pay them for how much you pick.
Oh.
Yeah.
But where is this in Bloomington?
Well, there's a couple over in Greene County, and
they're over on the west side.
I know there's more than two around. Depends on what you're looking for. The blueberries are the ones that were over in Greene County that I know of.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, those are big blueberries. And
those are quarter-sized blueberries.
They are, and they really have the blueberry taste, you know, which
you
can hardly find. And,
A friend of mine had a U-Pick over in Gosport or near Gosport, and it got to be, he was a little before his time, and he ended up finding some frozen fruit guy to come in, and they picked them, and they froze them instantly on the spot, and then sold them to distributors that way. But the big one used to be up on 37 near Greenwood there, just on South Indianapolis, along 37.
Yeah,
of course that's long since been turned into something else. I don't know what, but back in the day when I was a drug rep, driving up there every day, in the season, the place was covered. I mean, it looked like harvest time. There was like somebody on every row picking something, and they were just people like me and you going up there to pick their weekly berries or whatever, but they did a tremendous job up there. You know, after the blueberries and the strawberries and all the other things they grew, then of course they had pumpkins for fall, and it just went wild at Halloween time.
Well, I think U-Picks are great. I'm practically too old to do it, but I'll be doing it if I find a good blueberry U-Pick this summer. They're wonderful because you get the best. You can pick only the ones you want.
Yep.
You know? So whatever your heart's desire, you get.
Now, those businesses that have gardens around Bloomington, there's several of them now that, you pay for so many pounds of food a month or a week, whatever, and they deliver them right to your door. You don't even have to go pick them.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice. And the farmer's market's about to get going again, isn't it? It was once a week out on the east side there.
Yeah.
But now, isn't it open downtown yet? Or when does that start? Do you know?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was either this weekend, last weekend, or sometime, right around now.
One thing I noticed, and I made a note of this last year when this guy showed up, they have a sharpening man with a trailer and tools and sharpening stuff. In this trailer, and he will sharpen your anything. So
listen,
if you got,
he's great. Son.
Now you've used him before.
Yeah, he is great. I do a lot of my own chisels and stuff for my shop, and I'm not too bad. But when it comes to Mrs. B's knives, I wouldn't even attempt it. he makes her a lot happier with his knives than I do mine. So.
Yeah, well, the guy has the know-how, and I don't have a pair of scissors that isn't dull.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Nobody ever sharpens their scissors. Well,
that's because it's very difficult. If you get carried away with your sharpener, you can render them completely useless very quickly. That's why I don't even bother. But he does a great job on scissors. He does a great job on your wife's kitchen knife. If you don't know what to get her for her birthday, take all of her knives out of the drawer, take them in, have them sharpen. God, he will make them come back like samurai swords. He's great.
Well, speaking of which, my wife made me buy her these high-end knives for her birthday this year.
Yeah.
And Joe, what's the name of those knives? Cutco.
Cutco, sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Cutco, they're good. Knives. They better be. Yes, sir. So, you don't want just anybody sharpening that knife.
You do not. And you know what's interesting, guys, is the better the steel that's used for them, actually, the more often they need to be sharpened.
I guess I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I never met a knife that didn't need to be sharpened.
me neither, especially if it's been in my hands.
By the way, this will be our third farmer's market day today. So it's open in another less than an hour at 8 o'clock. It opens up until 1 p.m. So
okay,
head down to City Hall and you can get what you want at the Showers Common.
But you better make sure when you make one of those four-way stops or one of those red lights that the sign that says no turn on red, you remember those?
Yeah.
I guess we're going to have a whole bunch more of them, so don't run any stoplights today, man.
Okay. I didn't hear that, but so, it makes sense.
They have proposed something like 280 they're going to slap these no right on red.
Oh my God.
Around Bloomington?
Yes, that's the latest city council prescription for protecting pedestrians.
Wow.
I can almost understand it around the IU because it's usually pretty crazy. A lot of people get hit every year, but I tell you what, it's not much fun. For us people to actually look and see when we're driving and watch what's going on.
Well, you just assume when you're driving down Indiana there or Indiana and 3rd Street, along in there, that people are going to be walking out in front of you. So, of course, if you're from out of town, you might not realize that these people just walk right out in front of you because they're listening through their iPhone.
Well, and the other, you got to watch for people flying up wrong way on one way streets too.
Oh yes,
that still happens.
For all you folks that haven't lived here in a while, I was coming down Washington going south, and somebody was coming down. Was it First Street or Second? Yeah, First Street, and just maybe 30 miles an hour right through the stop sign. Didn't even look.
Jeez.
I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, so you got to watch. You can get killed just on a one-way street around here.
Yeah, at the first of the year, every year, all of the foreign kids who come, most of them didn't have cars when they were in the countries that they lived in, and now they've got a car, and it's the typical comment you see about, foreign drivers with new cars is making left turns from the right-hand lane.
Right.
Well, that happens, every year at the start of school. And then eventually after a few months, that kind of goes away, but that's not a right turn. That's a left turn.
Yeah.
So it's made it difficult going downtown, guys. I have to tell you, some of my favorite places in town are downtown, but, looking for parking, making the walk, this will make it even more difficult. It's really making it hard for me to go to the places I like downtown, and I regret that. But
well, I do too, Alan. I used to love to go downtown and eat, in different places, and since college days, which is a long time ago. And I want to tell you, I can't face the walks, especially that hill that goes up to the courthouse,
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Once you get down there at the bottom of Kirkwood, man, it's a long way up no matter where you're going.
It's not a fun drive. Yeah, no, or a fun walk, yeah.
Well, I will have...
You'd be better off having a tavern every few feet, and then you could go in, rest, have a drink, and then walk another 20 feet, and go in and have a drink, and walk another 20 feet. That's about the best way to make that trip.
Well, that used to sort of be...
Yeah.
You know, you used to have the original regulator down there about right. Washington Street, you know, so you only had to go from Washington Street down. I don't know whether you could get a drink at any place else until you got to Nick's. I don't think.
Probably not. Although if you started at like Rod's 400 of the Sunset, you probably weren't going to make it there anyway.
Yeah, that was Covington's in my days.
Covington's, that's right.
Yeah.
I always forget that name.
Covey's. And then Army Armstrong bought it when I was a newspaper reporter here in town. That must have been in the 70s. And
yeah,
I don't know who the last owner of it was.
Yeah. I don't either. I'm just trying to imagine, you know, those places were packed.
Oh yeah, I used to go a bit.
Yeah,
I used to go. It was fun.
Sure,
they usually had a pretty good band, and you might yep. see a good fight. You know,
I was gonna say you it was like dinner in the show. I mean, you know,
you might. It wasn't. I never saw it to be the big fight breakout thing like
yeah.
people talked about it. But I suppose you could get in trouble there if you didn't. You know, if you didn't pay your attention to your business.
Oh, the stories that, you know, of course, we heard over at Rosie's Cafe many years from our good friend Ira and some other folks. What a time in Bloomington that must have been.
Well, you know, I was there then.
Yeah. you know, I was not here until we moved in 78. And a lot of that had kind of, you know, went by then.
Amazing time. The Levee used to be that was a cool place to hang out because all the good stuff was going on there. The Royal yep. Oaks had a Dixieland jazz band on their yep. elevated stage, you know, had that big circular or oval shaped bar in there.
Yeah.
That was a great place to go. And on down the road, Joe Lamb had the place behind the motel, yep. you know. And
Joe Lamb, that's a name I've heard a lot.
Yeah, Joe, I was a friend of Joe. I became friends. I wrote about him so much. Went to see ABC Inspectors with him in tow, you know.
Oh, my.
Yes, and they bought me drinks.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, the benefits of being a reporter, God, that's amazing. That's awesome.
Well, it's pretty small chick. Small chick.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. So it's the only book I've really ever wanted to write about that time, about Ira and all the rest of the guys that were, forces to be reckoned with along the levee there during that time. That would be a great book to write.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want everybody to know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
there's two
a third party observer.
Yeah. Well, those were good times.
Yeah.
Those were good. And well, let's see. I was a young reporter then, just back from the war. So.
Sure.
I had a great time in Bloomington. Of course, yeah. I got married too at the same time, which kind of kept me out of trouble.
Really. Yeah. It was probably a good thing.
Probably, except it didn't turn out that way. It was a temporary thing. You know,
yeah.
Temporary. So anyway, I'm back from Texas. You guys want to hear about some things from Texas?
We do.
We do. Let me just say one thing before you start. I want to give our lake level that everybody's waiting for. 542.47 at 4.47 feet above more normal pool. So we still got some water down in the lake, a little bit above normal. And I've just found someone that mentioned it was below 60 still in the temp, but they haven't started posting the temps yet. So I'm guessing somewhere around 60 degrees. And one last thing before we start with your experience, Don. Have you heard anything about any morels yet?
Absolutely. I have heard. I haven't heard anybody locally,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
There's been some photos posted from southern Indiana.
Yeah.
I believe Honeyberg was the one in mine. And they were black morels.
Yep.
So the blacks are probably about done now, and the yellow ones will be coming on out. My buddy Tony Abril, who was a great mushroom hunter over in Worthington, says that the yellows come up, are always up on April the 24th. So,
yeah, I think when we were looking down, we always find a lot of black morels here close to the house. Yeah. We haven't seen a one yet, but that was because it was so dry. My guess is the rain we've had in the last few days. If we get a bright sunny degree day here, we'll probably see some popping up through the leaves, but we haven't seen any yet. I know Mrs. B's been looking every day for the last week or so, and it was just too dry.
Yeah, we went looking too and didn't find any in the normal spot.
Brian Burton, my buddy over in Greene County, says that once you hit 54 degree nights, all you need is rain.
There you go.
We haven't really had a lot of 54 degree nights.
Oh, yeah.
But that's that's coming.
It
could be. And the morning after it rains, they'll be up.
Yeah.
Don't delay.
You know what's interesting is, of course, there's no May apples up yet, but there are some little plants. Victoria, Mrs. B pointed out the other day that usually come up after the morels are gone, and they're up now before the May apples even. So I think the weather and the conditions have just been not ideal for producing things on time. So who knows when we're going to see these things, but
well, it's certainly been too cold.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we're forecasted 38 degree nights and low 40s pretty much for the next 10 days. So
yeah,
it may not see them for a while yet.
I've only been home for 2 days, but it's been in the 40s both mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that isn't warm enough for morel, but they'll come up anyway.
Yeah,
they will. Yes.
And I'd say, I would go by Tony's April 24th date for the big yellows.
Probably that, so.
After that, the vegetation gets so bad, so high, that you can't see the morels even if they're there.
Even if they come up, yeah.
Right. You have to be right on top of them to see them. Yep. Of course, I have to do that anyway. Yeah. And, the thing about this weather, you're mentioning how things are interrupted this year.
Yeah.
The Texas wildflowers this year were nothing like they were, I guess that was 2 years ago.
Wow.
When we were down there on March the 26th, everything was blooming. You can see that in my Zoom background here.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that this year.
Huh.
Nothing like that. In,
you think it was the freeze or?
Well, it could have been the big freeze. I was wondering the same thing because it's a big freeze, but they weren't having any rain either. And 2 years ago, every time it rained, there'd be a new batch of flowers come up, color, some new species. Yeah. It's there was a few places like the medians and some of the roads were in pretty good shape. But some of the farmers have, either them or the highway department, has taken to mowing some of the sideways, the berms over in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, they ought to be hung for being traitors to Lady Bird Johnson on that.
I was going
to
say, she did an enormous amount of work to cultivate that.
Well, to see what it's like down there when they're blooming is just pretty much overwhelming, really. I don't see how anybody could not want that. I sure do.
Yep. I made the drive from Dallas to Waco to visit one of my friends down there when I was at a conference one time, and I couldn't believe the color along the roads. It was just amazing.
It is.
I had no idea Texas was like that.
Something that's really changed about Texas, it's so obvious. You go from Dallas all the way to McAllen, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like one long series of strip malls.
Sure.
Now, especially the between Dallas and Austin and San Antonio. Just unbelievable.
Well, Well, McAllen itself is a unique, I mean, they probably ought to just rename it Bushville. You know, the Bushes were largely responsible for that development and all along the highway there. I had no idea that any place like McAllen, Texas even existed, but what an enormous amount of buildings, businesses, people. I mean, it went from being like, you know, the 100th or 150th biggest city in Texas to being, you know, in the top 20, like in, I don't know, 5 or 10 years. I mean, it just was an explosion.
Well, they're practically all immigrants. And
is that right?
Yeah. If you don't speak Spanish, you're not going to have a real good time down there.
Oh, wow.
But there's always some really friendly Spanish speaking person around to help you out.
Of course.
And,
yeah.
I've always got along with these people. I don't know what the complaint is.
Yeah.
And anyway, the businesses you're talking about,
yeah.
Get this, you know, all those old car washes where you used to drive through and had a wand, you know,
right.
Like there's still some around.
Yeah.
That area, you know, between Mission, Texas and McAllen, that stretch in through there, is full of abandoned car washes and have been repurposed by immigrants, I'm assuming, that you drive into, like you're driving into the car wash, but there's a woman in there, or a man, you know, or two or three, usually a woman, who comes to your window and says, what do you want? And you tell her, and she goes to this lineup of vending machines on each side of the old car wash port, you know? And there's a vending machine for this, a vending machine for that, a vending machine, you name it, they've got it, you know? And you just drive through there and she gets your stuff and hands them to you and off you go. You know,
it's a
new kind of drive-through, a real good repurposed. And the other ones that are still in business, but they don't have the old pressure washing systems anymore. They have two immigrants. Standing on each side of your car to wash it and then towel it down. You know?
Oh, I'd rather have that any day of the week.
I would too.
Wow.
It's kind of not what you expect from Texas. I didn't see a single cowboy hat. Not a single one.
Is that right?
Not a single one. Except up in North Texas when we were coming down. We had a campground host. His name was Terry at Jacksonville Lake Park. This is a city park that has a big reservoir on it, water supply. And, Terry, I want to tell you, you know, he knew what was wrong with my water pressure. My pressure reducer that I had put on the hose wasn't working.
And wow.
I had one with me. I just put it back on. And then he diagnosed a electrical problem I had. Told me how to fix that. And then I had a sewer valve freeze up on me and I had to go get this adapter to put on the end and turn it into the sewer valve.
Sure.
And so it was very helpful. The guy was really helpful. That was the campground. We were the only other people in it besides him. There was one other guy for a few days.
You know, what you're describing, Don, is a favorite subject of mine, and that's the expertise of the average Joe who does something for a living in, I noticed this first in New York, of course, when you moved to Manhattan, your doorman, your Starbucks guy, all of the people that you see that you know every day are so over the top good at what they do. It's shocking when you, I mean, coming from this state where, you know, pardon my description of this, but it, you know, it's just what I see. There's a lot of people who just aren't very good at what they do. When you go to California, when you go to Texas, when you go to New York, you know, when you go to Chicago, you know, those cities, the competition for jobs, because they pay relatively well, compared to here, is so fierce that if you don't bring your A game to work every day, no matter what you do, you won't have that job very long. It's a phenomenon that I notice every time I go out of state. I see people who are truly experts at what they do, no matter what it is. And I don't see that anywhere else but a few big states and cities.
Well, I want to tell you, Alan, I see what you're talking about, and I would agree with you in that it seems like every time you hire a company to do this, they can barely get it done. But
they can barely get it done.
If you know any local people and say, hey, who's a good builder? Oh, yeah. Brian Burton.
That's who
built my house.
Yeah.
You know, I don't expect he's built 50 houses in his lifetime, but he built some good, you know, and is expert at what he does. And there's also mechanics around like that. But they're just they're not working at Honda or GMC.
They're not.
They're working for themselves, or they're working for some garage.
Yeah.
And if you can find it, you got to hunt around to find good ones, but they're
there. You have to hunt around.
They're there. They're there. Maybe ask somebody at Kleindorfer's, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a good source.
That's a good first stop for almost anything you need in town.
Yes, and they have fishing bait.
They do.
Speaking of fishing bait, I was looking at some streams here that were coming in. And, you know, I'd say smallmouth fishing in these streams around here ought to be pretty darn good starting now and going into June. They're not big, but they're there. And if you like to catch smallmouth bass, you know, I call them the freshwater trout of the southern states, you know.
So Donnie, you talking about the streams that come out of Lake Monroe or the streams that are going in?
No, I'm talking about streams that have smallmouth in them. That'd be nothing to do with Lake Monroe.
Yes. Okay.
You drive down the road, you go down 37 down here. You cross one called Back Creek, which is, you know, you could two steps and you're across it. On down there's another one called Buck Creek. Same thing, you know, tiny little streams. They've still got water in them, and the smallmouth aren't going to be, you know, they'll maybe be 10 inches, maybe you get a 12 or 13, but you know, they're not big, but they put up a great fight.
Sure.
Use light tackle. And of course you got Richland Creek. If you want to brave that, there's so much land ownership now that when you walk in a stream in Indiana, you're walking on the landowner's property.
Right.
So you really have to be careful. And if you know who lives there, who owns it, you could ask for permission and maybe get it.
Yeah.
But I'd be careful about that. And then Indian Creek, but, you know, it got smothered by silt from I-69.
Exactly.
I haven't heard anybody talk about that, but that used to be the best smallmouth stream in Indiana.
So did the DNR ever stock that? That's why I thought maybe downstream from Lake Monroe might be good, because the bass that get stocked here go out the gate and, you know, go downstream, but no.
No, these are native.
Just naturally occurring?
Yeah, native wild smallmouth bass. They don't stock those. And they're a little bit different. It's kind of like the smallmouth or the largemouth that you might catch in Richland Creek. They look a little bit different. You know, they have a little bit different color in their eye or a different striping pattern. We're finding out now, which I always suspected, that there are hundreds of subspecies of these game fish.
Sure.
A largemouth bass may be a largemouth bass, but they specialized in being isolated. They have inbred and they've evolved and changed in ways that are different from the ones you might catch in Lake Monroe.
Well, I'd seen something very similar to that on something that came through on one of the science sites that I follow. And what they found out, Don, is that the environment, you know, that these animals are in changed their DNA to match their environment. I mean, for a fish, the markings on them, of course, are going to be different because of the color of the streams that they're in, the water color, the shading from the trees, the sunlight, all of that. And they're, you know, strong speculation at this point that happens far faster than the generations that we thought that changes used to happen. So that surprised me a bit.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree. And what you have to have is serious pressure.
And exactly.
You have to put a lot of pressure on these fish to make them evolve faster. And that's what's happening. You know, they're getting a lot of pressure, mostly environmental pressure these days, not so much natural pressure.
Yeah, predators. Yeah, no.
No, not predators. But I don't know. How do you change your appearance to keep PCBs from killing your eggs?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bizarre environment out there right now. Bewildering for the animals because I'm sure they have no idea.
I've been bald since I was 26 years old, and I've tried to change my appearance multiple times to, you know, attract the other species. But
other
the
species.
The toupee just did not look right.
I can't imagine.
I did that in an afternoon.
I'd like to see you in a toupee.
No, you wouldn't, Don.
I would get a picture.
No,
of that.
You would not.
We'd get you on we'd get you on Jeopardy.
And we would.
Yeah. So, not to change the moment of fun here, but. Tell me about what happened with the Huffs down at the Huff story down at Lake Monroe while I was gone. I heard that they've sued the city again for legal fees or something. Is that it?
Oh, I hadn't heard this.
Yeah, Joe was reading it to me out of the online paper that the Huffs had sued the county to pay for, or were suing. Going to sue the county to pay their attorney's fees for this fight in the court that they had, you remember?
Right.
So now not only did the county give them $50,000 and promise to not do anything against them ever again for the rest of their life, now they're going to have to pay the attorney fees. And I bet the attorney fees will be a lot more than $50,000, don't you think?
Especially for them. You know, my guess is there'll be at least a quarter mil.
Right. And that means you and I and Rich and Buddy Bill and everybody who's listening to our show that lives in Monroe County is going to pay for this.
Oh, you know, we were always going to pay for it, Don.
Well, I know, but it's, you know, it's coming home to roost right now.
It is coming home to roost.
And that has opened the door for anybody else who wants to do the same.
Well, you know, here's the thing. So, you know, the Bandy Rooster stance that the county takes on so many zoning issues just doesn't serve anybody because for the most part, they have no authority to do half the stuff that they tell people they won't let them do. Mm. And you know, to draw a line in the sand with somebody with the kind of resources that Joe Huff has, probably was just a bad idea from the beginning. And it's unbelievable to me that they actually went that route. I don't know who has to, somebody has to sign off on that, don't they? I mean, at some point there's a single person who has to sign on the dotted line and say, yes, this is what we're going to do. You know, that person probably should have a public discussion about their thinking around this.
Well, it's you know, the county council and then primarily.
Sure it is.
And that's not one person.
Yeah.
You know?
But somebody had to sign it. You can't say yours truly, county council. I mean, well, somebody signed the dotted line.
I don't know how that works, but I would hope they have at least three members of the council would have to sign something.
I would think so.
I don't know. We're ignorant of the law here, so.
We are indeed.
We're talking about something we shouldn't be, probably. But in any case, we're going to pay through the nose for this. We're going to pay through the nose and keep on paying.
Well, I know my property taxes went up about 20% this year. So
yeah, mine went up too. And the stormwater increases and the fire department.
Stormwater increase, so that doubled.
Yeah.
That doubled.
Fire department for Bloomington Township, which is I am in, went up quite a bit. So they got a new fire station. Yeah, man. Well,
yeah, I can see the fire station across the lake over here near Lakeview, but we're pretty far from them.
You don't think they'll make it in their boat over there, do you?
I don't think so. I'm not even sure they'll make it in the fire truck in time to like roast a weenie, let alone put my fire out.
Now, this, I'm going to say something here. This is not meaning to deprecate our volunteer fire department.
No, of course.
I know they're wonderful guys and they work hard and they do good.
Yeah.
However, when I lived in Wisconsin, do you know what they called them up there?
Oh, God, no.
The basement savers.
The basement savers. Hey, basement, eh? Hey, you still got your basement, eh?
Yeah.
That's good, Don. I got to remember that one.
The basement savers.
That's pretty good.
I'm sorry, you guys who are volunteer firemen out there. I don't mean to.
No.
Deprecate you at all. I know that your hearts are in it and that you do the best you can. And how can you expect to get to a house when, it's 20 miles from your fire station? So
it's not their fault, Don. They're put in a position of, they might save something at the point, but they're not going to save anything here at my house. So
that's right. And their main purpose of fire departments in the first place, and it was to keep the fires from spreading.
Right.
From the very beginning, they admitted defeat and said, we're not going to put this out. We're just going to keep your buildings that's around it from burning down.
Exactly. So,
that's what made urban areas the first place to build the firehouse.
speaking of fires, there have been a number of prescribed burns around the state that some of them have got out of hand, even the prescribed burns. A lot of the people who are burning brush now are having those go wild. I came back down, where was I going the other day? I was coming back from Indianapolis via 13546. When I got down into the bottom, somebody had burnt, their leaves or whatever, and it had scattered over into a field that went all the way over to 46, and it burnt one of the structures on their property right there, and they had the traffic stopped in both directions on 46, just down into the bottoms about 5 miles east of Bloomington. So it had been dry until we got this was before the rain this last week, but it was tinderbox dry around everywhere here, before we got this rain.
Yeah, we actually drove through a couple of, one fairly large forest fire down in Texas.
Oh, wow.
And all the people who lived along the road, which were up on the road watching it come at them, you could see the flames on the trees up the draw heading right toward, because of high winds in Texas. I don't know if you've ever been to Texas, but the wind blows in Texas, buddy, believe me.
my daughter went to Kansas State for college, and her dorm room had a big 6x6 plate glass window in it. They all did. And I remember her calling me. She hadn't been there 2 weeks because I think the volleyball players had to go early. So like she was there still. It was still summer. It may have been early July or late July. And we got a call from her going, "Hey, I'm looking at a tornado." I'm going, "What do you mean you're looking at a tornado?" "No, there's a tornado come right at the university here." And I'm going, where are you standing?" She goes, "Well, in front of the window." And I'm going, "You're standing in front of a 6x6 plate glass window watching a tornado come at you. Does that bother you at all? Because it does me."
Well, yes, that would be a concern. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like watching the fire come at you.
Well, I noticed one difference between my generation and all the generations that have come after. They didn't get duck and cover training.
They did not.
In grade school. And see, we had the benefit of the Cold War and the threat of a nuclear bomb to get us in shape,
Oh, Don, that's genius. I hadn't even thought of that. You are exactly right.
Duck and
cover. They never had duck and cover training.
That's right. That's
there you
right.
go. Well, just another one of my training failures.
See a tornado, it's a duck and cover,
Yeah. That's hysterical. I love it.
Well, let's see what else. I was going to ask about something else, and I see they passed that law where you can use just about anything now to shoot deer.
Yeah.
And while I was gone, but I haven't really heard much out of the DNR. They've been reporting a few four-wheeler accidents. I don't think there's been any deaths lately.
Yeah, the four-wheelers were surprisingly now younger people. You know, the ones later or, you know, earlier in the winter were all people that were over 60 years old. These are kids, ones I saw in the last few weeks instead of older people. So I think there was a couple of boating deaths up north. Good ones. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. I can't remember now. But, I'm not hearing much going on from the DNR other than that.
Well, you know, everything's happening in the outdoors right now. The dogwoods are beginning to bloom. Mine in my front yard's, you know, got white showing little petals. They're gonna be out really good soon. And I just keep thinking about those morels.
Yeah.
And they clear cut my morel place over in Brown County. So I'm going to be on the roam this year, looking around. Public property is about all you can safely hunt without trespassing somebody, you know, and getting in trouble. More people watch their mushroom patches now than used to.
Yeah. They watch their mushroom patches more than they watch their toolbox in the garage. I mean,
that's right.
I know I do.
And with the advent of trail cam, they can take your picture while you're out there.
Yeah.
While you're out there stealing their mushrooms.
Yeah.
So.
You know, Don, when I was, from the time I was 8, 9, 10, all the way up till I got old enough to drive and wouldn't go anymore, we used to go to Michigan every year up near Cadillac and Cowcast.
Oh, yeah. Come
back with like 10, 100-pound onion sacks full, and then my grandparents would go again in 2 weeks. You know, we would cut up mushrooms. My grandmother would cut up mushrooms and freeze them. And, you know, I had no idea how rare it was. I mean, we had mushrooms like most people have potatoes.
Yes, I know. Michigan's just loaded.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, you literally would go out to a field and it would, like a half court of basketball, you couldn't step without stepping on a mushroom. You'd hit a big patch and it would be loaded with mushrooms. It's not like you find one here and, you know, half a mile down the road, you find another. No, they were patches. They looked like dandelions, you know, they were so thick. So, but I never had any idea how, you know, rare and unique that was. And then when I got old enough to, like, you know, my grandparents didn't go anymore and we didn't have mushrooms anymore. And I'm like, wait a minute, where are my mushrooms at? You know, and then I started hunting myself. Of course, around here, you find maybe a bread sack full or whatever. But there is a market up in Lafayette that sells them, you know, in their market. I remember when Blooming Foods used to sell them, and there were so many fist fights over mushrooms they stopped selling them.
Well, there's still places that sell them and buy them. Babs over in Spencer, we used to do that. And
oh, really?
The IGA has been, some depends on the store, IGAs will buy mushrooms from you.
Okay.
And they're not hard to sell, as I understand.
Oh, no.
You know, but the guys find pounds of them. You know, that's the way you have to present yourself, with pounds.
Sure. Yeah.
And I've heard in the past anywhere from, they will pay you anywhere from $40 to $50 a pound.
Right.
And then they turn around and sell them for anywhere from $60 to $90 a pound.
Yeah.
So it's a very lucrative thing. And this is kind of like the ginseng thing. It's turned into mushroom wars, and there's so much value associated with them now that people pick them just for that reason.
Yeah,
and
sure.
This is what happened with ginseng, and they need to do the same thing with mushrooms. I'm sorry to say this, all you mushroom hunters out there have done this all your lives, and you did it with your grandpa. I know, but there needs to be a season for it. And
it does.
If you're hunting out a season, or you maybe even a license for it, you know, yeah. Let's charge them, only charge them a dollar, but yeah. let's have a license, because there's no way to stop it. Unless you do offer some kind of penalty, and trespassing just doesn't work. It's hard to catch people trespassing.
Trespassing is not going to work.
And it's hard to enforce. So, you know, the license has to be done. Season, of course, is limited anyway.
Yeah.
But
just self-limited.
You're not going to stop it. The more value is attached to them, the more people there will be out there in the woods where you used to find mushrooms all by yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's fairly, you know, legitimate restrictions on places that sell food, buying and selling natural products of all kinds. So, I thought it used to be, I could be wrong, I thought it used to be illegal to sell mushrooms in stores. You know, that's been the 50s and 60s. But I don't, it just seems to me that I remember that. My memory isn't all that good. But, you know, I don't know if that was just, you know,
it's
a policy.
It's the same rule that applies to bluegills.
Yeah.
If you are, can prove that they were brought to you by a, you know, person who is known, you know, and they were caught legally in the state of Indiana.
Right.
You can sell them in a grocery store.
That must be it.
And it's hard to do that for massive numbers, like a chain picking up doing that.
Right. No, it's going to have to be an independent guy. Yeah.
Right. So that's good in some ways.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is.
At least there's some control on it. You talk about market driven. That's market driven right there.
That is supply and demand at its finest.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir. Well, what do you got to say today, Rich? You've been awful quiet sitting up there in that corner.
Well, I've noticed that there's been a lot of fish being caught down there on Lake Monroe lately. There's
lots of crappies.
Yeah. And I saw a real big one that somebody posted in the Friends of Lake Monroe. And then also a couple other bass I've seen that looked pretty good. And even a few walleye. So it's about time to get out there and start fishing.
Wow.
Did you see that walleye the guy caught on the fly rod?
Yeah.
Here?
No, I don't, it doesn't say here.
It doesn't say where
say,
it was, but.
I'd say it was not here, but.
Okay.
He caught it on monofilament line. And this is like a sizable walleye, wouldn't you say? That walleye was 26 inches long.
Easily.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was big.
It was big. It could have been 8 pounds, you know, 6, 8 pounds
mm-hmm.
walleye.
Man.
And monofilament leader. And he claimed that he had it hooked in the jaw, which I guess he means that rough bone on the outside of the lips, you know, right there, had it hooked in the jaw, which it'd have to be because they got razor sharp teeth and a line won't last a half a second in their mouth.
No.
So he was lucky. He was very lucky. It's like you caught him by accident. It just happened to swim by and it hooked him in his corner of his mouth, you know.
Well, how could you do that? You don't think you can fly fish with a steel leader, can you?
Oh, yes.
Can you?
Yeah, the muskie, fly fishing for muskies up in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
We were making steel leaders for that long time ago.
Oh, my. I had no idea.
Yeah. You can find some really nice coated wire to make. You don't want a very long leader for doing that. You know, just a few inches.
Yeah.
Because if you have too much wire, it's really hard to cast.
I would think so.
those big musky lures are too hard to cast anyway.
Yeah. Wow. Gorgeous.
Is that the sign of the beaver?
That's how many minutes we've got left.
Live well and prosper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think that's the peace symbol, and the one in the middle is for people who don't want peace.
Right.
They want peace or something. Well, in any case, it's time to go fishing and mushroom hunting. Everybody get out there and get outdoors, get your vitamin D. You know, you don't have to take your vitamin D pills if you get 20 minutes of sunlight a day.
That's right.
That's right.
You should use your sunscreen. That won't keep the vitamin D from being produced in your body.
It will not.
It will keep you from getting skin cancer. And you won't have to have your nose cut to pieces like I did. Yep.
There you go.
Other things like that. And, Lyme disease. Ticks are at a peak this year, I hear. Make sure you cover yourself in DEET when you go out. If you don't like DEET, well, you know, you're on your own.
We're already picking ticks off now, Don.
Oh, yes, I have been for a while.
Yeah. Even walking to the barn, I'm coming back, we'll pick off ticks.
There have been numerous new cases of Lyme disease reported, according to a friend.
Yep.
Who might know.
Yeah.
Might not. But anyway, you don't want Lyme disease.
You do not.
DEET, around your ankles, around your waist, around your wrists, you know, back of your neck, any place there's a constriction in your clothing. Spray your outer clothing all from head to toe. Use the liquid stuff to put on your face. Keep it out of your eyes. It'll burn like heck.
If you're great bald, advice. Do it every day.
If you're part piebald like I am, I got this little spot back here, you know, that's a real good place to put insect repellent and sunscreen.
Yep.
So true. That spot on my head starts in my ears, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're about out of time, but hey, I wanted to mention one more thing, which is I'm going to try to get somebody to talk about the cicadas because we're about to start hearing them pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
When is that? July? They're supposed to be out?
Oh, earlier than that. They're saying May.
I think in May. I think in May. So it won't be too long now before we'll be hearing them. But we'll talk about them a little bit and start watching out for those little critters because they're coming.
Isn't Buddy Bill eat those? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Does he eat them? Does anybody know?
He fries them. He does all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
He says he eats them.
I can see that in his biscuits and gravy being pretty yummy.
Yeah, he's good.
He said he got himself sick eating them last year.
Yep.
Last 17 years
ago. Yep. I can't believe it's been 17 years since we talked about him on the show way back when. But anyway, thanks for joining us, guys. We're just about done. So bye-bye. We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys, for coming back.
See y'all.
Hey, guys. Good to see y'all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Clear. All right, guys. See you. Good to see you, Don.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.